It's tough.
I ever say
it's tough.
Yes, I know.
Did Simon just turn on the uprise?
Yes, he did.
Oh, Simon just turned on the uprise in my mid-conversation. And basically, he told me, stop talking. And talk on the mic.
You gotta listen to Grace Rose, though.
Grace Rose is famous now.
Yeah, she's getting it cracking.
Yeah.
Uprise. The song was, they shot this one in Brazil. It's a sexy video.
On your Brazil,
No. I didn't even go to this
one. Oh, this wasn't your video?
Yeah, nah.
Escapade?
She went by herself.
Okay.
Yeah. Dangerous. That's what the song is.
I like this song.
Danger, danger.
This is the right time for this song.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous time in the NFL.
Yeah. I just thought of something, Jason.
Tell me.
I want to start this.
Did the dangerous uprise inspire this?
In a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Because it's going to go back to our last podcast,
mm-hmm.
and the name of it was, it was a massive weekend for my stomach.
Yeah.
Because it was. But, you know, earlier this week, actually, this is probably like towards the end of last week,
mm-hmm.
something clicked in my head.
Okay.
And it's funny, but it's kind of not so funny
All right.
the same time.
I'm interested in this.
Every single fat person you see in Nigeria is wealthy. There is not one single wealthy fat person in Nigeria. Not one, Jason.
Wait, you said every single fat person in Nigeria is wealthy.
There's not one skinny.
Oh, got it.
No. There's not one person in Nigeria that is poor that is fat.
Got it.
Not one. Not one single poor person in Nigeria is fat.
You sure about this? Why am I laughing? It's not even...
Positive.
Okay.
Check this out.
All right.
It's kind of the reverse in America, no?
Not so true. But I get where you're going. If you have resources, time, you usually can focus on your health.
Isn't that some...
And depending on what part of the country you are in America... If you say you're in a food desert, right?
Yeah.
Where it's usually a low socioeconomic community where you don't have access to proper nutrition.
Yeah.
You see obesity levels at its highest.
I found that strange.
Yeah.
That is the exact opposite. The wealthy in Africa mm-hmm. are obese.
Saying that I have access to food. Because forget the quality, it's just food.
Food. And as a matter of fact, in Nigeria, those men, even those women, are in high demand.
Really?
Yes.
Status?
They're
symbol?
Called big men. You're a big man.
Yeah.
They like that. Because you are projecting... Through your sheer size,
your wealth.
That you're wealthy.
Yeah. Well, you saw that in ancient history where, you know, it was people of wealth in different societies.
Mm-hmm.
They were bigger
yeah.
because they weren't starving.
But in America, you find the really wealthy are trimmer.
Is this because if this is from an economic standpoint, are we just speaking about scarcity? Because there are a lot of people that go hungry that
yes.
don't eat
yes.
in America.
There is
an issue, but that's economical. But there's not this scarcity of food. Like, you know, you don't go to the stores and there's empty shelves.
Yeah.
So.
But so they're eating poorly. Is what it is. The food is cheap. Like, the really bad food is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And...
We're talking about America.
America, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The really
yes.
bad food, the stuff yep. that's bad for you is cheap.
Yes.
And because of your social economic situation, mm-hmm. this is what you're able to afford, and this is what you eat more of, therefore making you larger. Whereas in Nigeria... Mm-hmm. You just don't have no access to food, and therefore you're slim, and the people who do have access to food, period, all the wealthy, and they're bigger.
They indulge on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, let's talk about, you know, expensive champagne and wine.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, if you can afford it, you partake. So if you, I mean, people of wealth and status have always found ways to show it off.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And whatever that is that you do or becomes the societal norm, you embrace. And I think what's interesting is you're saying the societal norm in Nigeria is to show that you have access to this by your belly, which totally makes sense to me.
It is what it is.
I mean, think about what wealthy people do in all different societies, how they show it. I mean, they all have something. In some societies, it's the bottom of your shoes. You know, you can. We all can put a suit on. But by the bottom of your shoe, I can tell if you've been walking in those shoes every day. And if you've been walking in those shoes every day, you're not really wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if those bottoms look clean, then you're getting out sitting in a car. You know, it's just all – every society has something.
I've just never seen – it's just weird to me how visceral that is, the distinction in Nigeria between wealthy and unwealthy was just basically sheer body size. Mm. And – in America, it's almost the opposite of that. I found that so crazy.
In different societies, right? People find different things attractive. Period. Right.
Yeah.
So, though I didn't know it, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because we're all, but you see it. I mean, I see it state by state in America. Like I see. By which state I am, I just look at the people fashion, dress, what their style is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, some states, everybody looks the same. You know, that's why I love living in New York. I love living in London, where mm-hmm. I feel like people have such individual style. And I love that. But you don't see that everywhere. But it's all beauty. It's all aesthetics. So
moral of the story. Moral of the story. Is if you are a bigger person or anything in the Western world,
go to Nigeria.
Yeah, go to Nigeria. don't let anybody fat shame you, because there's a country that will appreciate you and love you for who you are. They would absolutely love you. So don't be fat shamed anybody. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody should be shamed at all. But that's interesting because that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
How often are you in your head, like just in your brain, you're just observing these different worlds you dip in and out of, where you're just bringing knowledge from the other and back and forth?
Yeah.
And do you just get lost in those moments?
No, I found that, you know, and I saw somebody put it was a diagram that I saw on Twitter that pretty much explained my... you know, what was going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a bunch of dots, right? And they were like, these dots are information.
Yep.
And then there was another diagram where there was a line drawn through all those dots connecting them. And they were like, this is knowledge.
Makes sense.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, having lived in all these different places, right? And, you know, you observe, and I mean, like, live there. Like, I've lived in Nigeria for, like, 8-9 years. And
Your toes weren't just in the water.
No, I was there. You know, I lived in America for, like, 20-something years. Right. I've lived here now for over 10 years now total. So you see things, you immerse yourself in all these different places, and then you start to notice so many different things and then so many similarities.
Yes.
At the same time, and you're like, oh, okay, so I understand. Oh, I see why this is like this. So I see what made this happen. And this is so weird how this is so different from this. But, you know, it's so many things are the absolute inverse of another.
Yep.
Just basically whichever country you're in. I really wish everybody could do it. I really do. I wish you could just live in different places and just observe and immerse yourself in that culture. And you see the world in a completely different way.
Or you can be like me and have a friend that has and just ask them a ton of questions. Because that's all I do.
Yeah. That works too.
I feel like I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you're in there.
Because we have these kind of conversations and they're fascinating. That made a lot of sense about the dots. And I think that in our current climate and format of journalism, news, whatever. Ask yourself this as you obtain information.
Yep.
Are you connecting a couple of dots? You know, and if you're not, that's okay.
It's okay.
Start.
Mm-hmm.
Just start. And if your news sources and things that you're obtaining information aren't connecting and flowing, you got to question those sources.
Mm.
Because you're right. They all should connect. You know, learning is all about layering, right? You learn a little bit, you layer on top of that, mm-hmm. you layer on top of that. And at some point you're like, I kind of get what this cake is made out of.
Yep.
And that's kind of even what we do when we talk about football. Like when we talk about our sport, anybody can just repeat things, mm-hmm. but we like to, with all this knowledge, and we like to connect the dots.
Yep.
We like to tell a story that, you know, we've seen happen or see happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important, man. I think that whatever you're trying to understand, whatever in your life you are trying to achieve, you got to start connecting those dots. And only you know if you do. But the beauty is, if you haven't, you're at dot one.
Yep.
And that's okay, because you got time. You got time.
I'm with
it's
you,
a good,
man.
Good way to start, man.
Yeah. What you got for me today, man?
I just want to say a couple of things. Interesting week of football,
mm-hmm.
the NFL. There was a scare thinking that might not happen because of all the COVID situations.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this is not on the NFL as a whole. This is society. And, you know, I mean, what do you think? You got a virus running rampant. It's not immune to the locker rooms mm-hmm. or players or anything like that.
Impossible.
But games happen.
Yeah. I just got tested for COVID, by the way.
You did?
Yesterday. Got my results today.
Yeah.
I'm negative. So
good, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Good. I had a bunch of tests when I was doing this other thing that I obviously can't do really well.
Because of Craig. It's okay. It's okay, Craig. It's okay, Craig. I got something for you, Craig.
Hey,
he thinks I forgot. I didn't forget. I've just been quiet. I didn't forget about you, Craig.
You just slowly but surely, huh?
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm watching that. I'm watching Strictly with my daughter, by the
way. Okay.
And Strictly's got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why. 6-year-old is locked in for life.
Yeah.
She's locked in. We're watching it. And she goes, my man Harvey got a perfect scores, 10-10-10.
Wow.
Yeah. My tens all the way through. Harvey's footwork.
I told you that. I was like, this guy here can dance. He's going to win.
Yeah. Harvey's okay. Nice. My daughter watches him.
Mm.
And I'm just watching, observing, chilling, having a great time. She goes, Daddy, before all the judges, Harvey's going to get all tens, even a 10 from Craig.
Wow. She called it.
She calls it. Like, it wasn't jokey, like straight-faced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you see Anaya's little face. Mm-hmm. You know Anaya's little face. Mm-hmm. But, like, straight-faced.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm, oh, yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Wow.
And she goes, Daddy, I told you.
Wow.
Locks back into the show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, my gosh, they got her for life.
Yeah, it's done. It's
done.
Over.
This human is a fan for life.
It's over.
The kids love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't dance, obviously.
I thought you did pretty well. I thought you did okay. You know? I thought you did okay.
I mean, it's just.
I thought you did okay, Jason.
I loved it. It was fun. And I keep telling you and Layla, man, seeing y'all there was amazing. It was like being in a game, your first game, and you're on the field, and you look up and see your peoples, and you're like, I'm not going
to
embarrass myself.
Yeah, I'm going to be all right.
It's go time.
I'm going to be all right.
It's all right. I want to ask you about something that I find fascinating about sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this all the time. We talk about the Belichick tree.
Yep.
Belichick, probably the greatest coach of all time in the NFL.
Yeah.
Probably one of the greatest coaches in sports. Would you say that?
He's 100%.
He's in that conversation. 100%. Of the New England Patriots. His coaching tree, they've had problems.
Yeah.
Right? The latest victim from the Detroit Lions, mm-hmm. Matt Patricia.
Yes.
We thought it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
They fired him. We discussed it. We knew he was going to make it through the Thanksgiving games because obviously that's important. You don't want to shake it up before then. He's gone. My question is this to you. What do you see as the problem? If you have an example to learn from,
mm-hmm.
you're in there, and this person is allowing you to see it.
Yes.
My question is this. Leaders have to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, you've taught me some really great things about leadership, mm-hmm. but I can't be OC.
Yep.
But things OC has done have worked. So what do you see? What do you see the problem is with the Belichick tree?
Okay. That's a great question. I'm going to give you an answer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you the best answer that I can.
I will take that.
You see, Bill Belichick to me is not just a coach. Bill Belichick is borderlining on being a genius. I believe this.
Okay.
Played against him, teams that he's coached, I've seen the things that he's done. I've observed him for many, many years. He is in an elite level of coaching.
Great.
Now, you know Deion Sanders, right?
Yes, love, my favorite player of all time.
You know Deion, right?
Yes.
You and Deion played the same position.
Yeah, not the same way, but we played the same
position. Played the same position,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
Deion's arguably the best corner probably ever,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
Deion can teach you how to be a corner.
Yeah.
Deion can't teach you how to be Deion.
No chance. I have a story about that, too. That is a great example. I have a story.
He can teach you how to be a corner.
Yeah.
You'd be okay, yeah, I can hold my own. But he can't teach you how to be Deion. It's not possible.
It's a whole, that's a lifetime.
Jason, that can't be taught.
No, it can't.
You understand what I'm trying to
no,
say?
It can't.
It can't be taught.
It can't.
And this is what's happening with the Belichick coaching tree. The things that he does and the way that he coaches and the way that he approaches the game is from a level of intellect that the people around him just don't have. And he's not going to be able to teach them how to be Bill Belichick. He can be, oh, listen, I did this, I did this, I did this. He can't tell you why he made a certain call at a certain – some of these stuff is just feeling. Some of this stuff is just watching for thousands of hours of – and there's just something that clicks. Mm-hmm. And you can call something at an exact right time, and it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you're guessing. You're not guessing. This is stuff that you have processed for so long, and nobody else is able to do it. And this is the problem with the Bill Belichick coaching tree, is that he can't teach you how to be a genius. He can just teach you play calls. He can teach you what's going on in his – but he can't bring you inside himself, and this is why there's always going to be a problem. And this is why I think – well, I'm not going to talk about Kansas City and Andy Reid and Bien. I'm not going to talk about that. Let's let him live.
Okay.
But this is we're talking about Bill Belichick right now.
But you have similar feelings on that.
I do.
Front.
Okay. I do. But we're talking about Bill Belichick right now, and I think this is what the problem is, Jay.
Fascinating. Okay. So, do you think that hinders you if you are say you're a coordinator or under a person of this magnitude?
Mm-hmm.
And you have your way of thinking, your way of coaching, your philosophy. You've learned a lot, whatever. Now you get this job and you think, I've learned from this great CEO, this great manager, this great leader of people. And you try to change yourself to be like them because that's what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has a negative impact? Or do you just think they don't have the capabilities?
I don't think they have the capabilities.
Got it.
What
do you think about Brian Flores, though? I mean, the jury's not out, right?
It's not out. This is what, his second year? I think Flores, to me, what he's doing, he is displaying a leadership quality.
Got it.
You understand what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, I do.
He's displaying, I am a leader of men. He's acquired some very good football players. Don't get that twisted. He's acquired some outstanding football players down in Miami, and he is a leader. So these guys play hard for him. I'm not going to say, oh, it's the same. I don't really think Bill Belichick is a leader of men. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. When I see him, I'm like, he's not somebody I would want to run through a brick wall for, not Bill Belichick, but I do know this. Whatever he tells me, I'm going to do.
Got it.
You understand
that?
He's
going to make me the best I can be.
The best player I can be based upon his knowledge, yep. not his leadership ability. And I yep. think that is the difference between the two. I don't yep. think Patricia has the same leadership qualities as Brian Flores. It just doesn't.
Right. Yes.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
I think a lot of people in this business agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, dang, that's fascinating because if you think about it as a player, it's two ways we can be led. It's the motivation factor, mm-hmm. like you said, and it's the this guy is preparing me to be the best I can be. And I'm not going to go against what he's saying because his track record speaks for itself.
Yep.
If you watch a lot of guys in New England that go to different teams or go into the media, these guys know football.
Yep.
Like they know, like Willie McGinnis is a great friend, you know, of all of us. And Willie Mack knows ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those guys, all of them that are in television positions, they can talk football. Mm-hmm. And the networks know that, you know. It's even like in your situation, people know being under Coughlin,
mm-hmm.
you know ball.
Yep. I think Coughlin – honestly, would yeah. fall more under the Brian Flores.
Yeah, he's a leader. He's a leader. But you.
He's a leader.
What I will say about Coughlin, I understood what needed to happen in the game for us to win.
Yeah.
He was going to tell us, this needs to happen, this needs to happen. I knew the map.
Mm-mm.
I felt it, you know, when I was in that locker room. Brian Flores, on this same conversation, Miami Dolphins head coach, earlier this offseason, comes out with a video. Miami come out with the video, speaking up, Black Lives Matters, some sort, some say calling out the NFL.
That's what he did.
Okay, cool.
That's what they did as a team.
And he spoke from personal experience,
mm-hmm.
being from the New York area, what he grew up. If anyone wants to understand what stop and frisk is, just look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was in his community. It was something that was drastically impacted
mm-hmm.
that community, what the police were able to do. And he's talked about that. I heard him in an interview talk about, you know, stop and frisk and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, as a player and that team, now this guy's obviously has a football IQ. He knows how to get players. I mean, he's obviously made mistakes. Mika Fitzpatrick
mm-hmm.
is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if this is the quarterback of the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he has a lot of respect.
Yep. Clear. It's clear.
I think he has ton of respect as a leader. That means a lot.
It's clear. It's clear. It's evidence. These yeah. people will show you who they are, man.
Yeah.
And the players, they will respond one way or another. And you're going to know about your coach. You're going to know what kind of coach you got by the way the players respond.
So at this point of the season, we're headed to the fourth quarter, right? Mm-hmm. We always talk about this. You have really broken down the quarter system to me better than anybody because you have been on two championship runs.
Yep.
You understand it. At this point of the season, is the jury out on what teams are,
mm-hmm.
what the staff is, what the players are? Is everybody clear on their roles and what they're good at and what they need to improve?
100%. You know exactly who you are as a team right now. You know, sometimes you're not playing as well, but you know you're capable of playing better. Like, you can feel that. Sometimes you're just kind of floating around. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, I don't know. And sometimes you know you're a bad football team.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
It's like in your, you know, you go out there, you're going to play hard, but you know. You're like, we are a bad football team because you keep finding ways to lose games.
Yeah.
So, everything you know right now, where you are as a team, you know what you think you have, and you know if you're peaking or if you're falling.
Who can get you out of that when you're playing bad? Is a coach good enough to get a team out of that funk?
When you're not playing well.
Yeah. Like, can their decisions actually change you? Or is it
I don't think right now.
Yeah.
I think that happens early in the season.
Right.
Early. I remember the 2007 championship. We had given up like 80 points the first two games. It was like the most points ever in the first two games in history.
With Spags as the first time coordinator.
Yes. And Spags came in. We were about to play Washington. And Spags came in and he was like, listen, we're about to play Washington. We've given up 80 points. We're dead last in the NFL. But I studied under Jim Johnson, legendary Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator. And I know this stuff. I know this system inside and outside. I know it backwards and forwards. This stuff works. Those are his exact words. This stuff works. Okay?
Obviously.
Now, listen to me. Follow me. This stuff works. Trust me. Believe in me. Buy into this system. And we are going to win games. And we were like, the way he said it, we were like, okay.
We'll give him a shot.
We'll give it a shot. Yeah. And we know where he came from. Philly used to bust us, bro. Yeah. They used to bust us.
That helps. That helps that
time.
You've seen that.
Oh, yeah. Especially that defense.
Being in the same conference.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, cool.
Division,
and
I mean.
We ran with it. Ended up working out really, really well for us.
So I like how this segued because we're at the point. We're going to just start talking about teams that are relevant, right? Kansas City. We know what they do on offense. Mm-hmm. To your point, Spagnuolo. You said this the year he first got there. It's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. They're going to hit.
Yep.
You were right.
Yep.
Because you've experienced this. Once again, I think even this year, it's kind of like he morphs that defense in what they need to do to basically play second fiddle to that offense.
Yes.
It's like, this is what we do. I need to make a defense that allows us to be great on offense.
Mm-hmm.
It seems every game when you watch Kansas City, here's a nugget. They sell out for one or two things. They either sell out pressure or they sell out in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're going to do this and we're going to take away something doing this.
Yep.
But it changes.
Yep.
Spags is back there. Just he has the pieces to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chess is very popular right now because of the Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What's it called again?
Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. In the NFL, the chess piece for everyone listening this time in the league is safeties.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when safeties weren't valued?
Yep.
Okay. It's all changed. Because you need the safety is a flexible piece. It's a queen. It can do everything, right? It can, you can move. If you have a safety who can do it all, you're good. That's why he went and got Tyrann Mathieu.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spags knew, man, if I got this kind of guy, I can do all these things I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can sell out the coverage. I can sell out the pressure. Bam.
Jason, I saw Spags. This is no lie. No lie. We were playing a game. I think it must have been the Cowboys who were playing. And they were running something that, you know, they hadn't shown on tape, right?
In the middle of the game.
Middle of the game.
Okay.
Spags says, offense goes on the field. Spags says, okay, cool. He calls everybody together. Puts up the chalkboard.
Old school.
Draws up a new defense that we'd never played before, never seen. He's like, this is what they're doing. This is what we're going to do. Go execute this. And we went out there and shut them down. The craziest thing I've ever seen in my life before. I've never seen nothing like that before. Because a lot of times you have your sheets. You have, as a defense coordinator, you have your game plan. You're like, oh, boom, if they do this, you're going to. And sometimes offense does things and you're just like a deer in headlights. You're stuck. Not this cat. This guy drew up a brand new defense, brand new coverage, and was like, this is what we're going to ask AP. He's like, this is what we're going to do. And you guys go out there and execute it. And we went out there and executed it. It's crazy.
Even if you're not understanding football and you listen to us because I laugh at OC all the time, which is why I love this podcast.
Mm.
Like in anything in life, there are people who understand what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who understand how to adjust.
Yep.
Usually they're not the same people.
Yep.
But in coaching, you get those great coaches, which not every team has, who can adjust on the fly.
Yep.
That being said, as a player, are you able to adjust on the fly because the technique is the same and it's been taught to you?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So.
Yeah. It's just different, you know, okay, now you're going to do this. But the movement is the same. The things you're going to, they're the same.
Yeah.
They are.
So you just, because you've spent so much, as a player, because you spent so much time on the technique, you know how to execute what you need to do physically.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you how to change it schematically, you can just do it because you're not having to think about the technique.
Exactly.
That's the key.
Exactly.
I think the greatest coaches drill that technique so much that regardless of what happens, you can learn on the fly. And those that aren't technicians and true teachers can't happen.
Yep.
Can't happen.
With you.
Man, this is – I don't – you know, this is a – it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was really nice. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that, too, because I think now that we're going to talk about these teams, we can talk about things like this and what they're bringing to the table. Because you said some years ago, I never forget, it's absolutely the truth. Players, there's parity by the way the league is set up. There is not parity in front office and coaching staffs.
Doesn't exist.
Not at all. If you're lucky enough to get a position coach who can really teach you the game, I had a guy in Dallas. That's why I like Coach Zimmer from from the Vikings. He taught me how to play defensive back. Like, he knew it. He taught us. Like, I understood what to do on certain parts of the field because of him. Didn't really happen again. So, you know, until Spags, but I obviously didn't get a lot of time with him. All right, OC, it's time for the questions. Can I say one thing, though?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes is my MVP.
Okay.
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 All right.
As he should be.
Okay. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay.
Defense. I'll tell you what, though.
What?
What I saw, I think it was today, that tripped me out. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. He has like 3,200 passing yards. You know, Brady has like 3,100.
Brady's had a fast start, too.
Yeah, but he has like 3,100 passing yards. He's second in the league in passing yards,
which
I find so weird.
Next week, if we have – we need to discuss what's going on there. We need more time.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
There's going to be a decision made next year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Brady or the head coach.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
You don't think –
That's not a decision.
What? That's a decision by ownership.
It's not a decision.
Who do you – oh, okay.
So not a decision.
Who are they going with?
They get Brady out of there quickly.
No way.
Quickly.
No way. No way. No way.
All right.
No way.
Quickly.
They're trying – Brady puts people in the stands.
I don't care
about
that.
And this year you haven't been able to. Next year, people are going to show up to those games in Tampa to watch Tom Brady.
If you have to choose between right now,
yeah,
Tom Brady and Bruce Arians.
Yes.
I'm choosing Bruce Arians. 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Interesting.
If we're talking about 5 years ago, Brady.
Okay. Yeah.
We're talking about like right now.
Okay. Okay.
Bruce Arians.
If it comes down to that, you go get another guy.
Another coach.
Another coach.
Yep.
And you say.
Put Brady in another system.
Brady has guaranteed money next year. But you go draft the quarterback. And you say, Brady, you're going to get all this $25 million. We're going to get another guy who can learn from the greatest.
Yep.
And we're going to get a coach that you believe in and that can nurture this quarterback. Josh McDaniels?
I mean,
I'm throwing spaghetti balls on the wall here, OC.
I'm not completely against that line of thoughts. I'm not against that. That makes sense.
Just, I don't know, but it's.
It makes sense.
It's just, it's interesting.
No, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
All right, it's that time of the podcast. My dots are connected, OC.
Are they connected?
Yeah, you've connected some dots for me today.
I'm happy.
Mr. Quail.
Quail.
Yes. When I hear of a Mr. Quail, I feel like it's a teacher in a class and it's an assignment I haven't turned in. So I'm like, oh, Mr. Quail got me again.
That's
what I feel. When I read that name, I automatically felt like
Mr. Quail.
Yeah, I didn't do my work.
You know, I used to do my work in school off of just memory. Did you know that?
I hate you.
Yes, the truth.
No, I hate you.
I never studied in high school, college, nothing. I graduated.
Yeah,
a degree in business administration.
Yeah, I hate you.
Never studied.
Hate you.
I just used to go and just do my work off of memory retained.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Information retained.
That's
it was pretty cool.
Hate you. Straight
hate. I wasn't a straight A student, though.
No, but you did.
I would have been.
Did
I would
have
been.
Did you listen in class?
I did.
There's two ways I always believed in studying.
Yeah.
If you go to class and you are engaged and you listen. And you want to be average. I mean, you don't want to get A's, but you know, B's.
Yeah.
If you listen, you'll get that.
That's exactly
if
what
you
happened.
Study, you'll get A's.
That's exactly
if you
what
don't
happened.
Listen in class, you have to study, to catch up to get where you are.
Oh, you see? Now you just connected for me because I was wondering how I did that. I was like, I must be some sort of genius.
Because you're engaged. You're listening. You are actually retaining information because you are not wasting your time in class.
Yeah.
Like, that's why if you just be where you are,
you
actually gain.
Can I ask you a question then?
Yes.
What did Mr. Quail say?
Because Mr. Quail said. Mr. Quail said.
Because
Mr.
we just went. We were talking about Mr. Quill. I remember that vividly.
I don't even know where we how we got to this. Okay, he left us a 5-star review and 2 questions. You leave a 5-star review, you get 2 questions.
Got you.
You get it. Mm-hmm. In your playing days, what other team would you have loved to play for? Mm-hmm. That's the first one. Second, which of the current players would you like to take under your wings and develop?
Mm, okay.
Ooh, I like that.
Oddly enough, the only 2 teams that I would have wanted to play for, I played for.
Yeah.
I played for the Giants, and that was really cool. And then, you know, when you're playing in New York, that's like the biggest market.
Yeah.
There's like nothing else. But, you know, for me to go somewhere else, because my whole family lived in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. My kid at the time was living in Atlanta. The only other team that I wanted to play for
was Atlanta.
And I ended up playing for them. Yeah. So, you know, I was lucky in that regard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was it.
I'm with you. I wanted to play for the Giants. That happened. That was the first team I ever played for when I started youth football. But I will say maybe an L.A. team, even though there was no L.A. team when we were playing, but a West Coast team just because I was from the West Coast of the United States.
Yep.
It's always good to go home and, you know.
West Side?
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
West Side?
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Second question. Which of the current players would you like to take under your wings and develop?
I don't really fool with these younger generation of players, man. these guys are crazy, bro. It's all social media. It's all posting, all telling each other's business, all acting crazy.
Interesting.
There's no one guy who I see who I'm like, you know what? I really want to mentor this guy. He's
Aaron
a really
Donald be
good
chilling.
Guy.
He's not crazy.
Yeah, but Aaron Donald's a much better player than I was. I can't mentor. How am I going to mentor Aaron Donald and develop him? He's developed far past me.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, there's no younger guy who I've seen who's just, you know, as a defensive end, I've seen him. He's just humble. Well, maybe Daniel Hunter, but I know Daniel.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
Nice dude.
He's a nice guy, but he's already at a very high level. So, you know, maybe Romeo Okwara, who I talk to quite a bit, really good player. A lot of them are Nigerians, you know, because those are the ones who gravitate towards me.
And it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very great NFL community.
So maybe some of those guys.
Yeah. I don't have a specific player either. I mean, that Harrison Smith guy, I think I can make him so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, all, you know, one of
all
the best.
All pro.
He's just one of the best safeties in
couple
the league.
Couple of all pro guys.
He needs
all
to
pro.
Listen to me more in our group chats, and he probably, you know.
That maybe he'd be –
I mean, you know, Harry, if you want to
– maybe he'd just be an average player.
If he listened to me, he would be average.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Harry, my bad, man. Harrison is the homie, man. Do not listen to me. Mm-hmm. You will continue to play well. Oh, man, shout out to our reviewers, Mark Mitchell. Thank you. And to Chris Thomas, 91, who has gone back and listened to episode 1 onwards.
Wow.
Wow.
That is incredible.
I really,
and
that's
we love you for that.
That's a good.
We love you for that.
And it's coming to the end, so I got some great stats for you.
Okay.
All right? And it's not about the financial markets, OC. It's about a better market.
Really?
It's the market of our chart positions. They're in, OC. They're in.
The numbers are in.
They're in. The Jason and OC podcast in Belgium.
In Belgium.
Number 65.
In Belgium?
Yes.
Belgica?
Yes.
Okay.
Number 39 in Saudi Arabia.
Where?
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia?
Yes. yes.
But why?
Number 34.
And Bahrain.
Yep, 34 in Bahrain.
Did we say anything crazy last week?
No, we didn't. I don't think so. Now, this is to my brethren.
Okay.
To my bloodline.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 25.
Okay.
In Ireland.
In Ireland? Well, that makes sense. I get that. I understand why it'd be 25 in Ireland.
Yes, yes. Yeah, 25.
Yeah. Shout out to Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Ireland.
All of them.
Yeah.
Top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8. Coming to the ring, the Jason and OC podcast in the UK.
Ooh, that's the one. That's the one we want. That's
Uprise.
The one we need. Uprise.
All day. My man OC, you know I love my NFL Game Pass. Well, they've given us our very own discount code. If you get NFL Game Pass Pro subscription, you can use Jason and OC 15 for 15% off. You get access to up to 14 live games every week and a host of other content on demand.